And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Hi, my name is Dr. Roy Morgan. It's very good to be with you today. Okay, let's come together at the table and let's figure this out. All right. Everybody wants to feel really good. You want your mind to be clear. You want to be able to sleep at night. And you don't want to be plagued by nonstop inflammation. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm going to tell you. You probably do. It is literally impossible to have pain of any kind without inflammation being present. I've always thought about Dr. Russell Jaffe's definition of inflammation. I think it's genius. He says inflammation is a repair deficit. That means for whatever reason, your body just can't rise to the occasion and make a repair. Well, what are some of the things that do that? Well, number one, what if you're lacking the very nutrients that your body requires to make the repairs possible or take place? Well, there's going to be a bunch of stuff that's left undone. I think I started to read the article last week. I don't have it in front of me, but it's real simple and to the point. They made this observation that people that tend to live past the age of 105, there's something that they do that's different than those that don't make it that far. And you're thinking, well, what is that? Well, they consume just a little bit more protein than what people get that live a lot less. So don't overthink that. Protein is a basic building block of the body. Have you ever heard the term essential amino acids? Well, you know what you're made of besides your water content? Let's just say that we agree that your body is 70% water. You already know how that works. If you're dehydrated, you're going to have a bunch of problems. And guess what? You can correct that. If you rehydrate your body, all the systems in your body start working right. So I need you to remember, think of yourself as like an old-fashioned car battery. You pull up at the gas station, you check your oil, you check your radiator fluid, and then you pull the caps off the top of the old-style batteries to see if there's water in them. Or, you know, sulfuric acid. Well, what happens to the battery when it's low on water? Well, it doesn't work right. It doesn't hold the charge. It doesn't deliver the amperage that you need to crank your car. Well, you could probably say this is analogous to almost every other element the human body needs, amino acids being one of those. You've got to have amino acids or proteins to help assist your body in repair. And so, like I mentioned earlier, what if you're lacking a nutrient or lacking a protein or a fatty acid? Well, your body's going to say, okay, I want to fix you, but I can't. And so this leads to a chronic problem. The chronic problem is people are so exhausted they can no longer heal. Well, let's go old school today. If you can wrap your mind around what I'm telling you right now, then you can have healing. And you know what? We're going to have to dig in and just do the hard work. That's all there is to it. You can't generate health by taking a drug. Oh my goodness. If it was that simple, then every 72-year-old person that's taken 12 to 15 prescription drugs, they would have radiant health. But you already know that is not true. Anyway, without going down that rabbit hole, let's talk about this right here. I got this from a gentleman by the name of Andrew Schloss from the Schloss. Schloss. I got that wrong. Sorry. He's from the Washington Post. Let me read this to you. And what I want you to do is just see yourself in the story and how you can apply this to you. Okay, this is what Mr. Schloss writes. Broth isn't much. A chicken back, some sprigs of parsley, a carrot or two, celery stalk, and then you've got time. And what do you need time for? To bring all the flavors out. And after hours of simmering, its life begins. For broth is not a finished food. It is just the start of culinary magic. And it is the crux of all cooking. With it, the sauce is a snap and the soup is practically made. The words broth and stock are used interchangeably in many cookbooks, and for good reason, because the differences between the two are hair-splittingly small. In general, usage of broth is a home cooking term, while the term stock, it is the province of professional kitchens. Broth is made from spits and spots of leftovers, and its nature changes according to what's on hand. Stock follows a prescribed formula. It is made on a regular basis and forms the groundwork for all sauces, soups, and simmerings that are the mainstays of a classic kitchen. There is yet another distinction. The meaty element of stock is predominantly bone, while broth is typically made with meat, or at least portions of it. This difference changes the finished products in two significant ways. Number one, the large proportion of bone stock gives a more gelatinous texture and greater clarity. Broth tends to be thinner and cloudier. Essential to all broths is starting with cold water. As the ingredients warm in the water, their fibers open slowly, releasing their juices to add flavor. All flavors can result if the broth is not skimmed. So that's one component you need to remember. We got to skim it. The broth must be kept at a bare simmer throughout the cooking process to ensure clarity. All right, where did I want to go with this? Oh, yes, here we go. I want you to listen to this for just a moment. Why is chicken soup superior to all things we have, even more relaxing than Tylenol? Well, it's because the chicken soup has a natural ingredient which feeds, repairs, and calms the mucus lining in the small intestine. This inner lining is the beginning or the ending of the nervous system, if you want to say. This inner lining, it is easily pulled away from the intestine when an individual uses too many laxatives, or if your diet has too many chemical food additives, or if you have a parasite of some type. That could be an overgrowth of a bacteria, a virus, a yeast, a fungus like candida, or an actual parasite, something like an amoeba or a protozoa or a worm. The chicken soup, it heals the nerves. It improves digestion. It reduces allergies. It relaxes and gives strength. This comes from Hannah Kroger in Ageless Remedies from Mother's Kitchen. Oh my goodness, I like that. Could you imagine a mother working in the kitchen today to provide chicken broth for her kids? You know what? This is going to make them strong. This next one comes from a book by Willa Cather, Sapphira and the Slave Girl. Okay, here it goes. I'm going to read an excerpt from it. It was a rare winter when there was not an outbreak of diphtheria in Hayfield, or Back Creek, or Timber Ridge. Dr. Brush rode with his saddlebags all day long from house to house, never bothering to wash his hands when he came or he went. His treatment was to scour throats with a mixture of sulfur and molasses, and to forbid his patients both food and water. Both of Mrs. Blake's girls, Betty and Mary, got diphtheria that winter. While Fairhead was walking up and down the yard, that's the doctor, he kept an eye on the windows of Mrs. Blake's upstairs bedroom. As soon as the candlelight shone there, it would be time for him to go to help with the girls. He circled the house, picking up some sticks from the woodpile, and he was about to go into the kitchen when he saw through the window something which startled him. A white figure emerged from the stairway and drifted across the indoor duskiness of the room. It was Mary, barefoot in her nightgown, as if she were walking in her sleep. She reached the table, sank down on a wooden chair, and she lifted a bowl of chicken broth in her two hands. She drank slowly, resting her elbows on the table. Fairhead knew he ought to go in and take the soup from her, but he was unable to move or to make a sound. Mary slept all night. When Mrs. Blake came in at 4 a.m. and held her candle before the girl's face, she knew that she was better. But Betty died, just slipped away without a struggle, like she was dropping asleep. Isn't that interesting? There's an old South American proverb. Here it is. Good broth resurrects the dead. I mean, how many times have you heard that if a person has a cold, they should consume chicken soup? I'm telling you, the stuff works. If your health is not what it should be, and you have digestive problems, that's one of the best things you can do right now. Start consuming chicken stock or broth. Give your body a chance to heal. Plus, it's so easy. All right. Number next, a buddy of mine sent this article to me. And I'm going to try not to get in it too, just other than the facts. I'm not going to try to make a lot of comments about this because I know that this is a real touchy subject. But, you know, I do have a responsibility to speak the truth. And I know you want me to. You want me to be blunt and just tell you how it is. Because we're supposed to think things through. I have read so much on this topic. I'm not telling you I've read and studied enough, but I definitely have some insights. Anyway, let me see where this study came from. Okay. Let me see if I can pick it up where... I'm just going to get to the... let me get to the meat of the matter. Okay. You understand that a virus, by its very nature, it's going to mutate. That's just what they do. So, for example, if you figure out that if a rat can eat poison that's made from warfarin or coumadin and they bleed to death, you're going, oh my goodness, we have found a way to solve our rat problem. We're going to put all this poison out that has warfarin in it, and guess what? The rats are going to die. You know what the problem is? It may be one rat out of 300 that lives. And you know what? We're designed by God to adapt to stress. Have you ever heard the phrase before, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger? Well, guess what? Viruses and bacteria are the same way. The more that we try to kill them, the harder they become because they want to live too. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Each virus goes through a mutation process. It's trying to figure out how can it be more successful in doing what it wants to do, which is to infect and invade your living cells and then reproduce, just like rats. That's what they want to do. They want to reproduce and raise their offspring. Okay, so during the latest, I guess, what is it, Delta variant? There were 7,700 cases of this Wuhan flu that were detected in the country of Israel during the latest variant surge. And only 72 of them, less than 1%, occurred in people who had previously contracted the Chinese virus. More than 3,000 patients, or about 40% of the new cases, meanwhile, were detected in people who had gotten injected in compliance with the government's command, meaning they obeyed and they got their vaccine. So there were 72 that weren't vaccinated that got it, and there were 3,000 or 40% of the new cases were in those that had already been vaccinated. Now, I don't know if you've heard this information before, but this is completely a different narrative than what we have been told. And so here you go. With a total of 835,792 Israelis known to have recovered from the virus, the 72 instances, I couldn't pronounce it, of reinfection amount to 0.0086% of the people who were already infected with COVID. This is reported by the Israel National News. By contrast, Israelis who were vaccinated were 6.72 times more likely to get infected after the shot than after those that had the natural infection. Anyway, I know that's not going to be well received, but you know, you got to hear it. 6.72 times more effective. It's called developing natural immunity. So what am I telling you today? You need to take your health in your own hands. That's just the way it is. You're responsible for what goes on. And you know what? You either respond or you react. Would you rather react or would you rather respond? I like the idea of responding because you kind of come up with a plan. What am I going to do to help myself? If that involves the use of chicken broth, talk about awesomeness. I bet you would tell me your fortunes turn for the better once you start sipping on chicken broth when you're sick. Yeah. I had a gentleman recently that was really, really sick. He was in rough shape. And we tried a very, very simple experiment. We tried using a homeopathic remedy, or he did rather. He took oscillococcinum. You can buy this stuff just about anywhere. And the experiment we tried was one dose every waking hour of the day. And you know what? What if that was 12 doses? So what? Well, he wakes up the next day and says, I'm a new man. You know what? I believe him. So either we support the natural immunity or we try to bypass that and do unnatural immunity. If you would like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. I'll get you right in. Here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I've got a neighbor. I think he's about 75. He's got something called Ben Swanger. Does that sound right?
Well, what is it?
Oh, he's been having mental decline for probably a couple of years now.
Oh, bless his heart.
And supposedly, I thought he, I said, Jimmy, you're talking Ben Wheeler? No, it's a city. And I know.
I heard this still. Okay.
But apparently the way he explained it, because I'd never heard of it, Ben Swanger, I think he said. And it's got the capillaries, I guess they get clogged up and there's...
They do. It's a microvascular disease. You just can't deliver the blood flow, the oxygen nutrients to the brain.
Okay. So what do we do?
Well, you know what comes to my mind? There was an experiment where they took rats and mice. I don't remember which. It was one or the other. And they tried to do the same thing with them. They tried to clog their microvasculature or their capillaries, which are the smallest arteries. And they successfully did that, and all the rats developed dementia and Alzheimer's. They went through this horrific mental decline where they couldn't function. They looked like an old human being, basically. Then they tried using pretty significant doses of a substance called resveratrol.
Okay.
So when you have a blueberry bush or you have a grapevine that produces fruit, they produce a compound called resveratrol. And in the plant, what it does is it prevents viruses, bacteria, fungus, mold, all that yucky stuff that would try to kill the plant. It's like an antifungal compound for the plant.
Right.
And so that's why if the plant's healthy, you don't see anything eating the blueberries or the grapes. The plant's strong enough, it can resist all that stuff. So when they give that to mice, all of a sudden, magically, it starts opening up the circulation.
Okay.
I know you get this, but a mouse, it doesn't have the same type of a lifespan as a human being does. So if a mouse lives on average 2 years in the wild or a year and a half, that's not the same as 78 years for a man or 80 years for a woman. You get that, don't you?
I believe I do, except for Mickey Mouse.
Well, Mickey Mouse lives on. And so in this situation, they were able to reverse the negative effects of clogged microvascular arterial disease. It's just a fancy term meaning the small vessels that supply oxygen and nutrients to the brain cells, they're clogged up. And you know what happens? When you can't deliver oxygen to the brain cells, guess what they do? They die.
Yeah.
And so in this study, they used a boatload of resveratrol. I'm so sorry. I don't have it in front of you where I can give you the actual numbers, but I want to say it was about 20 times more than what they would normally be able to get from a good diet. So it was, like, really significant.
Okay.
So that's one of the things that you're looking at. The other thing is you got to understand the brain, it loves to consume fat for fuel.
Right.
And so one of the ways to getting around this to try to provide nutrition to the brain is you're literally trying to get a person to eat more fat. I know this sounds crazy and nuts, but if you were to look at the long-term studies on how long people live, it's the ones that seem to eat good, wholesome fat that live longer than anybody else. Meaning you can't give a person a boatload of sugar and expect them to have great brain health.
Right.
Sugar just generates so much inflammation. So the resveratrol is something that I would look at trying.
Okay.
The other thing that I would look at, and this is just my opinion right here, always think, what can we do to radically increase oxygenation of the brain? Well, one thing that's worth a trial, and I'm certainly not trying to overpromise anything, I might even look into the use of what's called food-grade hydrogen peroxide.
Okay.
You're just trying to see if this will help nudge the person's biochemistry toward more oxygen. I talked to a woman on the phone yesterday, and they were talking about the use of an oxygen concentrator. And the poor woman, I mean, I just asked her, I said, "Ma'am, do you think you just had a heart attack?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "We need oxygen." That's what a heart attack is. You don't get enough oxygen to the heart, and so the heart goes through the worst Charlie horse of all time, and it hurts bad, and that's what she told me. So she needs to be on oxygen. Oxygen is what prevents spasms. When you get oxygen to the brain is able to process information. And so anything that increases oxygen to the brain is a home run. So you can always try the hydrogen peroxide to see if that works.
Okay.
I would just say go on to a website called YouTube and just start watching videos on dosing food-grade hydrogen peroxide. And that might actually be 35% hydrogen peroxide.
Okay.
But you would just start off with just simple drops of it. But I think if you have an idea how to take it, that gives you a heads up.
Okay.
But your poor friend, there's only one way through this. You gotta cause the body to regrow brain cells. And so, your neighbor, what kind of work can we give them to do where they can give the brain a reason to heal and repair? That's just the way it is. You gotta have physical activity.
Right.
You've got to read and write. So studies show that when people write down things, they can regrow brain cells.
Okay.
If a person ever picks up a sheet of paper and tries to write down notes, they're not going to grow new brain cells. If you read a book, you're telling your brain, I need you to grow new brain cells to accommodate this new learning. When you exercise, you do the same thing. So that's basically what you're looking at. Daily exercise, reading and learning new information, and writing things down. Those all stimulate the body to regrow brain cells. It's either that or I take him down to the bouncy house and I throw him into the tub of all these foam balls and see if he can get out of it. We've got to give him some new work.
There we go. Hey,
and so,
I saw a bouncy house for rent the other day.
Does that mean you're going to go rent it?
I didn't say that, no.
Oh, okay.
But I said I saw one for rent.
And you know what? Somebody's going to have a whole lot of fun.
I'm ready for me.
Hey, you know what? Jesus said himself, unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom, right?
That is correct.
I'm sure he did not mean a bouncy house, but but you know what those kids are doing? They're willing to work hard, but it's called play. And that's the way it should be.
Right.
And as adults, we need to do more play, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You know what? Let me ask you, what would be one of the most fun things that you could do right now that would really put a smile on your face? What would you enjoy?
Oh, I would love to go dig a garden.
Oh, my goodness. Well, can you?
Sure I can.
Oh, that is your fun, then. That sounds great.
Or mow the grass.
You know what? It's your call. All these things are fun if you say they are.
Well, they are. They are. Particularly if you can do it for somebody else and you get a little more fun out of that.
Oh, my goodness. I think you have just unlocked the secret to staying young.
Well,
caring and loving for other people. That's good.
You got to try something. I got one quick question about me. When I walk about 35, 40 minutes, I try to walk in the dirt and barefoot. My left thigh starts to get a little burn in it. Is that good or bad?
Well, when you say left thigh, do you mean the top of the thigh where the quadriceps is?
I don't know what the quadricep is, but it's
well, that's a muscle. If you put your hand on the top of your thigh, that's your quadriceps.
Yeah, up there.
All right, sorry, I wasn't trying to throw you off. That's just me
talking.
Okay.
Good job.
So if it's burning, then you know it's not getting enough oxygen. And if you were here at the radio station right now, I'd probably take my thumb and just run over the muscle. And you know what I'd find?
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be a big honking ropey knot in there. One of the techniques that works those out is just a foam roller. There's a store in Tyler called Five Below. I think they call it Five Below because you got to give a low five before you enter the store. No, I'm just joking. It costs $5 or below. But they sell these foam rollers for like $4 or $5, and they work. My favorite ones, they look like a tractor tread on the tire, kind of an aggressive tire track.
Right.
But if you rolled out your thigh with that, oh, my word, your burning days would be over.
Okay, and one thing, I don't know if you've heard of the store. It starts with a W, and it's fairly big.
No, I haven't. It sounds like a small mom-and-pop organization. What do you, begins with a W?
It depends on how big the mom-and-pop are.
The richest people in the world.
I bought one of those, and it's got a little motor in it, and it vibrates pretty good. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to try that.
I bet you anything, if you were wearing a pair of like gym shorts, if you took olive oil and took your thumb and just rubbed and stroked through that,
okay.
I think you would find the knot really quick because it would hurt like all get out.
Okay.
But the other thing, here's the simple things you can do. And I've seen this work over and over again. Lemon juice is one of the greatest solvents
that
I've ever seen before. I had a woman one time call me, she said, "Dr. Morgan, I cannot turn my head to the left."
Oh,
I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "It's locked up. It hurts so bad." I mean, have you ever had a crick in your neck where you didn't want to turn your neck?
No, I really never have.
Well, but you could sympathize with somebody that says, "Man, I am in pain. I cannot turn my head to the left."
Certainly.
What would that be like trying to back up your car from a parking lot? That'd be torture, wouldn't it?
It'd be terrible, but I would rather that they don't turn their head to the left, turn it to the right.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, this lady calls me. She said, "Listen, I've tried this. I've tried that. I think I've tried chiropractic. I've tried massage therapy." And I could tell the poor woman is just suffering. So I said, "Ma'am, would you just try rubbing lemon juice?" And she said, "Of course." She calls me the next day. She said it totally freed up her neck.
Hey, good.
So you got nothing to lose.
Okay.
So just rub fresh lemon juice over your thigh. And then I just follow up with a little bit of extra virgin, unfiltered, organic olive oil. And just start rubbing that knot out. Make it go away.
What about coconut oil?
Not as good as the extra virgin olive oil. And the reason why is because if you get unfiltered olive oil, it is rich with what's called chlorophyll.
Right.
And I'm telling you, chlorophyll, that is an amazing substance. God knew exactly what he was doing when he designed chlorophyll.
Hey, it's great.
That's why you need to eat your kale and your greens.
That's exactly right. That's really good. You get good advice.
I'm glad you like it.
I do.
Hey, okay. I wish you the very best, but I think if you apply the lemon juice and olive oil and rub that knot out, I think you'll tell me at the 45-minute mark there'll be no burning in your legs.
Okay, and I'll try that while I'm mowing the grass.
Hey, you know what? Even though your age is what it is, I can tell you right now, if a man can put his feet flat on the ground, if he can squat all the way down to the ground without lifting his heels, then that's one of the greatest predictors of how long you're going to be able to walk the earth.
Yeah, well, that ain't going to happen.
Would you stop being difficult? What'd you have, a knee replacement?
I'll tell you what, no, I can get down on a little bitty thing, and I can get it on them big red balls, and I can, you know. But I'll start trying to squat a little more.
Hey, good man. I appreciate that. You're easy to teach.
Very easy. I've got chairs and everything. I can start easy and go lower.
There you go. Thank you very much for your phone call. I really appreciate you.
Thank you very much for the advice. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. You're listening to KBJS. The program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan. Okay, let me try again. All right, I think I got you.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm going to be better after you help me with something.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. My last report from my doctor said that I'm on the cusp of being a diabetic, and I don't want to be.
Okay.
And in the past, you have discussed, and of course at the time I wasn't interested, didn't write anything down about fasting, so could you give me some help this morning?
Okay, there's two or three ways to do this, but the usual formula that is the easiest to comply with and the easiest to do involves skipping breakfast.
Okay.
And here's two or three of the principles. Number one, of the things that you've absolutely got to accomplish to make this work is you've got to get your blood sugar and your insulin levels to fall lower and lower and lower.
Okay.
So one of the techniques for doing that is just walking every day. If you walk, that helps reset your insulin receptor sites, which means all your cells become more sensitive towards sugar and insulin. That means it goes in the cells instead of building up in your bloodstream, making your blood sticky and gooey and causing inflammation.
Okay.
So if you set your mind to even walking, if you're able to do that, that would be a move in the right direction.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, number two, skipping breakfast, your body's going to say this to you. It's going to say, who do you think you are not feeding me a bowl of cereal?
Right.
Do you realize that's intolerable? Give us some food. But if you don't give yourself breakfast, your body will eat you instead. And so here's what it would look like. Let's say theoretically that you told yourself, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Here's my plan today. It's Saturday. I'm going to eat lunch and I'm going to eat supper.
Okay.
And both of my meals are going to be in about a six-hour feeding window. So let's just say, or it can be more than that, or less than that. If you had your lunch at 11:30, but you had your supper at 5:30, that would work.
Okay.
And so from 6 o'clock in the evening till 6 o'clock in the morning, that's a 12-hour fast. Fortunately, sleep takes up a lot of that, so you don't have to really think about food while you're sleeping, right?
I guess I can just go to bed at 6 o'clock then at night.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Probably wouldn't sleep, but I guess I could do that. Okay.
Or you can stay busy just doing good stuff and distract yourself so you won't want to eat.
Well, that's true. Unfortunately, sweets are kind of my main thing that I love. But I do like all good food, and I'm trying to drink more water. My problem with walking is I have a bad knee, but I don't want to do knee replacement. But I can still walk and just grin and bear it.
Well, if you went on a website called Amazon.com, they sell these stationary exercise bike pedals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're like $45. And I know that's a lot of money, but if you put that in front of your chair, that's the easiest way to recondition a bad knee.
Okay.
And so that way you can get your activity in while you're sitting in a chair reading your Bible.
Okay.
And so that's one option. So if you wake up in the morning and you tell yourself, I'm not going to drink coffee, I'm only going to drink herbal tea and water, and I'm going to skip breakfast. If you skip breakfast, your body will start eating you.
Okay.
And when your body eats you, what it means is it's going to go to the fat cells and the sugar and everything else.
Uh-huh.
It's going to say, well, if she's not going to feed us any breakfast, we'll have to eat her. That's exactly what you want.
All righty. Okay.
But I've seen this work over and over and over again.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it a try. I'm 86, and I just don't need to be having diabetes.
Ma'am, don't tell me a story. Your mind is far, far too sharp and quick to be 86.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, but I'm still there anyway.
Oh, you are there. You're more than there.
I am more than there. Okay, well, I'm going to, because I just got up a little while ago to listen to your program, and I haven't eaten breakfast.
Good.
But I've had water, so I'm going to hold out until 11:30 to eat then today.
Good. So if you need coffee, have it 11:30 with your lunch.
Okay.
That way it won't cause a unique spike in the insulin.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you for your help.
Ma'am.
I have written all this down, and I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great day, ma'am.
You too. Bye
I appreciate
now.
You. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to totally wreck your craving for sugar, just suck on a tablet of Gymnema. It's an herb. Oh, yeah, you'll be totally upset with me, and you'll say, Dr. Morgan, this is gross. I can't do this. Yeah, but it'll kill your craving for sugar, and you won't eat sugar, I promise you. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Last Saturday, there was a man that called in, and he said something about hydrogen peroxide, and he gave an 800 number. What was hydrogen peroxide for?
Well, you know what H2O is. That's water. H2O2,
yes.
That's the chemical designation for hydrogen peroxide. Under normal circumstances, your human cell will make a little bit of hydrogen peroxide. But as we age and we have more damage to our body, it probably makes less and less and less. And so when human beings take a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, sometimes it'll help stimulate what's called the catalase enzyme, and that helps your body more efficiently convert fuel into energy. So when you eat a meal, your best deal is to break down the fat and the protein and carbohydrates and convert that into energy. And so for some people, if they take what's called food-grade hydrogen peroxide and they put a few drops in a glass of water, that may help stimulate this catalase enzyme in your cells, and all of a sudden you might say, oh my goodness, I have more energy. Now, I know I'm an oversimplifier, but you know what it takes to fix and heal everything in the body? Energy. That's the bottom line. Without energy, everything is not well. So does that make sense? You've got to have energy for the body to heal.
Yes. Okay, there was something else I need to ask you about. On my right side, my right arm and right leg, it trembles. I have been to a neurologist, and he said I've had a brain scan and all that. Everything looks good. He said my brain looks good. He said what you have is benign tremulous Parkinson's. He said, I'm not giving you any medicine, and I don't think you would want medicine because I don't take any medicine now. But what is there anything I can do for this shaking?
Well, benign Parkinson's, no. Benign tremors, yes. If it was Parkinson's, it'd be on both sides.
No, it's just on one side.
Exactly. That means there's some lesion on the left side of the brain, and that's just the way it is. And so let me give you some ideas. There is a spice that's used in cooking that's called turmeric. Turmeric has a unique ability to helping to decrease inflammation of the brain. In order to grow new brain cells, you got to have vitamin B12. There's no way to do it otherwise. And it may be that one side of your brain had an injury a long time ago. It's just now starting to, you know, come to fruition, and it's not working right. And so vitamin D3 is extremely, essentially important if you're going to have new nerve cells grow in your brain repair. When you sleep really, really deeply at night, this is when the glial cells in your brain, it's kind of like the immune system of the brain, they go around like little vacuum cleaners, and they clean up all the waste and the debris and the gunk that needs to be gotten rid of. That's called inflammation. So you got turmeric. There's another common cooking spice that I am extremely impressed with. It's called saffron. Saffron has the most unique ability to rid the brain of inflammation, because that's what you're dealing with this tremor on the right side of your body. And so what does a person do to retrain the brain to start growing new brain cells? Well, one technique is just taking a sheet of paper or a journal and writing every day by hand. And you tell yourself, I want to see the most beautiful handwriting of all time. And I want to see some legible handwriting and some beautiful notes on things I need to do. And it could be as simple as, this is what I want to accomplish today. I want to go pick tomatoes. I want to work on my compost pile. I want to turn it over. You know, just mow the grass, whatever you want to do. If you will practice writing things down, that's a signal to regrow new brain cells, and that's really the only play you've got right now. You either start regrowing brand new brain cells or you don't. That's the only way I've ever seen through this. So if you smoke a pack of cigarettes every day, or even three cigarettes, it's hard to overcome tremors as long as someone is putting all those free radicals in their brain. So I'm not scolding you if you smoke cigarettes. I don't think you do.
I don't.
Okay. Well, I could tell by your voice you don't. Do you know who holds the world record for buying the most cigarettes at age 4 to 5 in Texas? That'd be me. Because when I was 4 and 5 years old, that was my job, is to get out of the pickup, go into the pit grill there in Mesquite, Texas, and buy cigarettes out of the cigarette machine. But then again, all my friends did that too. I didn't know that was wrong. So, if you want to grow new brain cells, start writing things down every day. The more prolific that you become at writing and journaling, the better your brain's going to be. Number next, if you will set your mind like Flint that you're going to exercise every day, I would just gladly accept walking. You've got to do something to maintain your strength and your blood flow. The faster that blood flows through the body, the better this is going to go. Do you know what potassium is?
Yes.
Usually when somebody eats one green salad a day, they get about 5,000 milligrams of potassium. I'm telling you, that's a huge amount. But that's the way it's supposed to be. But with potassium, you have increased blood flow. It's incredible. Would you believe me if I told you it is impossible for you to see anything without the element potassium? I believe that to be true. And so if you read every day, if you study something, you're telling your body to regrow new brain cells. If you exercise every day, you're regrowing brain cells. Outside of that, I don't really know what else causes your body to do that. My basic point is this. You got to have work and a challenge for your body to do what it's supposed to do. It's kind of like with the immune system. Your immune system needs work to do. And if you make it so easy on your immune system just by taking vaccines and not working for it, then your body becomes sluggish and lazy. It's funny how that works. We all need great challenges, don't we?
We do.
Can I ask you a personal question? As your life has gone on year after year, have you had less challenges or more challenges?
Probably less challenging.
Has that been comforting to you?
Well, I don't know. I really don't. I've had a challenging life earlier, but...
The first part of your life?
Yes.
And I'm not asking you for information, but would you say somehow or another your life is better because of those challenges? Meaning you were able to get through it by God's good grace and mercy, solve it, figure it out?
Yes.
And I know, because I have wrestled with that Bible verse in the book of James over and over again, but that's my problem. You know how it says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you fall into various trials? Because the temptation of a human is to say, oh my goodness, you just don't know how terrible this is and how much pain it is. But I really am convinced all these difficulties are designed to improve us and make us better. It's just no fun in the moment, is it?
Right. Did you say something that could have happened earlier in my life?
Absolutely, yes.
Right damage?
I promise you. And you know what? You don't have to convince me whether PTSD is real or not. I see people all the time, and I could tell by just looking at the way that they respond and looking in their eyes, they've probably got some PTSD. And sometimes it's from just really toxic people. And sometimes it's going through hardships that you didn't ask for. I mean, there was some damage to the brain. But what we want to focus on is, what are we going to do to improve it and to heal it? And so if I had a tremor on the right side of my body, you know, one way of looking at this is, okay, I need to get on a health kick. And here's what my health kick is. I'm going to force my body, whether it wants to or not, to go walking up and down uneven terrain. So could you imagine if you were in a spacecraft and it landed on the surface of Mars and there was oxygen? Well, it's your job to walk up and down that hilly terrain and call it good. Or if you just seek out a high school track that has nice, cushy, you know, composite track that's level and easy to walk on, that's fine too. But I promise you, your body's
I walk about 2 miles every day.
Do you? Where do you walk?
Up and down a line.
Then good. I want it to be inclines, declines. I want there to be snakes chasing you, so you have to run faster. I'm just joking about that.
Okay, did you say turmeric, B12?
Vitamin D3, cod liver oil, magnesium. The only way that your body can rejuvenate brain cells is if it has adequate B vitamins. Guess what? You get those when you eat meat. And so if you're willing to eat fish and chicken and eggs and beef, you're providing your body the raw nutrients to repair the brain. I told the gentleman that called earlier that in rats, they've clogged up the brain cells, and then they gave the rats a huge dose of a natural compound called resveratrol, and it was able to restore their memory or to restore their function. But then again, there's so many things that are good for the brain. Have you ever heard of blueberries before? Of course.
Yeah.
But you've got to challenge the brain to make it grow new brain cells. And so if you did Tai Chi or you went to a yoga class or a exercise class for women, so next time you go for a walk, you know, walk over the curb, walk through the grass. And you could say, you know what, it's not fun walking on the grass because it's uneven. Well, you got to give your body a challenge if you want it to grow new brain cells. So
okay.
All these things are important. And I would say the most harmful thing to the brain of all time is two things, eating a boatload of sugar, and the number two, overthinking or overprocessing. If you want to call that the process of rumination and just dwelling on negative detail. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody having a conversation with themselves in their own mind at 2 o'clock in the morning while they're lying in bed, and the conversation they're thinking of took place 20 years ago, but they want to keep replaying that same conversation in their mind? That's what rumination is. That does more to stress the brain out than anything else. I promise you it does. The thing of it is, we all know that you can't do anything to change the past, right?
Right. Many years ago, I was in a terrible car wreck, and my head was split open.
There you go. Where was it split open? On which side?
Right side.
Okay. But these tremors, they represent the function of the left side of the brain. When the tremor's on the right, most likely, you had really significant brain damage. Now, what I would do is say, okay, it is what it is. That happened years ago. What do we do about it? That's where these things that I'm telling you kind of come in handy. I mean, on one level, I really, really see a benefit to a technique called fasting. Not everybody wants to do that because that means you have to deny yourself and deprive yourself of things that give us comfort. But if you deny yourself, what will happen is your body will start to heal and repair the damaged tissues. So that's one of the reasons why intermittent fasting or just eating two meals a day can be a godsend to a person that's aging, is because if you don't eat breakfast, your body's going to say, oh, I get it, she's not going to feed us, so let's go and look for anything that needs to be cleared and cleaned out and detoxified. And so that's one of the big deals. You have all these deranged, bent, twisted, dysfunctional proteins in the brain. If you skip breakfast, your body will start eating those.
Okay.
So you'll start cleaning your brain if you skip breakfast.
All right. And eat green salad every day and blueberries.
Yeah.
And
that's
yoga,
right.
Potassium.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, now you got it. That's good. But you got to make sure those two meals, you have to eat enough. I'm not trying to make you to waste away into nothingness where you become skin and bones. So there is always a point by eating two meals a day you could lose too much weight. I don't want you to do that because I want you to be really, really strong.
And this turmeric, it's the turmeric tablets, right?
Absolutely, yes.
How many of those should I take per day?
Well, if you buy a bottle of high-quality turmeric, it's probably going to be about two a day is all you need.
Okay. All right, will do.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate
you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Like anything else, the sooner that you run toward and attack a problem, the better the outcome is going to be. Now, if you wait 30 years with a problem and it gets, you know, past the point of no return, that's really, really difficult. I mean, what do you do when a person is older, I'll say, and they just completely lose their appetite and they refuse food and they refuse to eat? Well, you know the end is near. And that's sad, but we're trying to do all these things before it gets to that point, right? If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open, 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am doing very well.
Great.
I was calling. I have a son who's in his early 30s, and he has a job where he does repetitive work. He builds car washes, and he's experiencing pain in his right elbow. I'm sure it's like a type of tendonitis or something. I've suggested some things to him, but I was just wondering what you would have to offer.
Well, the bottom line is the elbow is breaking down at a faster rate than what the body can repair it. So let me have just a simple go with this. Number one, the temptation, since he's probably on foreign territory like Dallas or Fort Worth, I'm just joking about that, he just has to travel to where the work is, right?
Right. He's in Houston. But yeah.
You mean, I didn't know they needed car washes in Houston. Yeah. No, but if he's in Houston building car washes, what he eats is going to make a world of difference. And so I can tell you, I saw two men recently that had a similar situation. And what I did was I tried to convince them to totally give up sugar. And one man, once he put away the soft drinks, in 3 days he was completely pain-free. All of a sudden his body was able to heal itself. Now, philosophically, this is what I believe. If the right elbow is what's hurting, then his right kidney is really, really inflamed. And so if he could just drink herbal teas throughout the day, it's not hard to do. He could take a bottle of water and put a tea bag of hibiscus or rose hips or green tea or dandelion, ginger, blueberry. He could just keep going and going on the herbal tea flavors.
Mm-hmm.
If he would drink that as his main source of fluid and liquids, every time he does, his body's voting to heal the elbow and to repair it. And so that would be a godsend. The other thing is, if I could just get him to eat one green salad a day, I don't care if it has chicken or beef or eggs all over it, or in it is what I should have said, that would go a long way to helping to soothe his highly inflamed kidneys. And so when the body becomes overly acidic, it hurts and it doesn't heal real fast. So sugar is the number one thing that causes acid to build up in the body. And, of course, drinking a soft drink, that's called phosphoric acid. There's nothing that wrecks the body quite like that. So if he snacked on fruit and just focused on meat and vegetables, I can almost guarantee his body's going to come back in alignment. It's going to stop hurting. Now, in the meantime, if it were me, I'd start rubbing fresh lemon juice all over that highly inflamed elbow so he can work and provide for himself and his family.
Okay.
Yeah, plus, who's going to take care of you when you really get really, really old? He is, right?
Correct.
He's probably a great son, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a good boy. Good son. Good son. Yes. Okay. I had him using Epsom salt, but I guess the lemon juice is a better...
No, Epsom salt is great, but the lemon juice, it will act like a solvent to dissolve all the acidic debris and crystals that are building up in the joint causing pain.
Okay.
I mean, really, if we could get him to eat an apple a day, that would be a move in the right direction. If he could just start eating blueberries and cherries and raspberries and strawberries, he would get stronger just from that. If he took lemon juice and squeezed it in water or that herbal tea and drank lemon water all day long,
mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I get phone calls all the time, and they go, well, I never knew that lemon water would work this well. And I'm going, well, evidently it's done something really good for you. So his body will start getting healthier and healthier instead of more and more inflamed. But, you know, the show's got to go on. the owner of that new car wash, they went up and running yesterday, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, rest would probably do a lot for him, but he doesn't have that option at this point in time.
Well, then there's the only other option is we got to make sure he's got a super high-quality sleep, and we got to feed the body in such a way that it can repair.
We are fearfully and wonderfully made, are we not?
You ain't kidding. Wait, that's a great scripture. I love it.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, we'll communicate this to him, and thank you so much, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call. Tell him I said hello.
Well, we'll do that. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, there's maybe 2 or 3 minutes left. Plenty of time for a quick phone call. Actually, probably more like... there is 3 minutes left. That's plenty of time. 903-586-5257. Okay, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
Great.
I have a question for you regarding my husband. He has bladder cancer, and he's had one surgery. They got one spot like about a month ago, and now they're going to go back in on August 5th and get the other. This one is cancer. He had just been watching it for a long time because he had prostate cancer about 12 years ago. And my cousin posted that he killed his cancer with ozone and baking soda. So we called him, and he was set for surgery, rectal surgery, and he got on a program with lemons and baking soda, and he used ozone therapy. He actually bought a little ozone machine.
You know what all those things have in common? They're all alkaline, alkaline, alkaline.
Uh-huh.
So, good job.
And he cured it. His cancer's gone. And they were going to...
Well, that's because cancer... that's all cancer is pure acid. And so you're countering it with alkaline. This is good. Uh-huh. I like it.
So, with my husband, with his bladder cancer, I was going to ask you about the ozone therapy because that's something we're very unfamiliar with, that we can definitely do the lemons, and we have tried...
Well, it's very easy to procure what's called an oxygen concentrator. It's very easy to procure what's called an ozone generator.
Okay.
Those are all available all day long off eBay and Amazon and probably other websites.
Okay.
But it's under the heading of an oxygen healing therapy. But, yeah, I dig all that stuff. I like it.
Okay. Any other advice?
Well, when you have bladder cancer, that's almost always due because of chemical residue and pesticides.
Uh-huh.
Now, I can tell you the first thing I thought of, and I may be, like, way off track, but there's a very famous health organization in California called Kaiser Permanente. Have you ever heard of that group?
Yes, his brother's in that program.
Well, they did a study recently, and they showed that men that had no bladder cancer were men that smoked one marijuana cigarette a week. I'm just relaying the information. I'm not telling him what to do. But what we got to do is we got to clean the bladder. And so if ozone and baking soda and lemon juice do that, I am all for it. I love that plan.
So you think that the ozone is a... radical part of that plan, or could we do it without the ozone? Do you think that's a big...
Well, I think what I would do if I were you, I'd probably go onto a website called YouTube, and I would just type in, how can ozone help defeat cancer, and just see what you come up with.
Okay.
Because obviously, knowledge is power. I mean, what does it say in the Bible? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Uh-huh.
Once you hear the truth, then it's up to you what to do with it, right? But yes, they sell ozone generators so easily, so correctly. You can start that as soon as you want.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you so much for your phone call.
What I'm thinking is he'll go ahead and have the surgery to get rid of the obvious one that's active, but we'll do this therapy, and hopefully it won't recur.
Well, that's what we want. We want healing. I'm really proud of you for thinking about that.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
You helped us in the past.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.